The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All righty, welcome back. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. We certainly did at the Noble House. Our kids were in from both coasts. We had our son and his soon-to-be fiancé came in from San Francisco. And then our daughter came down from Manhattan. Our other two are here locally. So we had just an awesome time. And really, for those of you that are parents and your children start moving away, you know what it's like. And it's a bummer, isn't it? I mean, you're excited for them. We're excited for them. And they're doing great. And their careers are flourishing. But when your kids leave, that's a bummer. So when they come home, when we have all of them and find my iPhone, I can just find one particular spot. That's great. So that's cool. So I hope you had a great Memorial Day. I hope you took some time yesterday to remember those that have fallen in service to this nation, brave men and women over the years, going all the way back to the start of the country, although we didn't start Memorial Day till sometime after that, after World War I, actually. And so let's make sure it's just not a weekend of fun and games and barbecue and time by the pool or whatever. We have to remember that we enjoy a nice weekend. We have this fun. We have this holiday because other people don't or didn't. And so let's make sure we remember that. So if you've lost someone close to you, a family member, a friend, as an act of sacrifice for this nation and military service, God bless you and God bless them and thank you and them for their service. So let's make sure we never miss an opportunity to thank those in uniform that serve all of us in various ways, including fire and police and first responders. But especially on these holidays, let's remember members of the military. Speaking of the military, I did go see Top Gun just the other day. All of us went. And I was wondering, is it possible to live up to the hype? Of course, it was delayed, at least a year and a half or something with the pandemic and COVID. And Tom Cruise definitely wanted to wait until they could get a regular opening weekend. And a regular opening weekend is not what they got. They got an unbelievable opening weekend, biggest opening weekend for a film at the box office, Memorial Day release weekend. Biggest one ever, his biggest ever first out of the gate release for Tom Cruise, and it absolutely lived up to the hype. I do want to say some other things about it. It was 1986 when the first one came out. I was a sophomore. I just finished my sophomore year in college. And so that movie resonated with me for a couple of different reasons back then. So I'll talk about that before we get to the end of the show today. But also wanted to really focus on the heels of the tragedy in Texas. And we're learning more about that. Let's reserve final judgment. But it's sure looking like, according to this article in the Federalist, and this is if you've been paying attention to the news since it happened about a week ago, a picture, here's the title from the article: a picture is emerging of extreme cowardice and incompetence among local police. I mean, not going into the room for 75 minutes. I mean, there's so much to this, 78 minutes to be exact. As many as 19 police officers were reportedly in the hallway outside the classroom for 78 minutes. Who's in charge and who's willing to sacrifice themselves? And then, of course, even last week we were talking about how there was a police officer that exchanged gunfire with the suspect, the now dead murderer, outside the school. It turns out that wasn't true. There was a door propped open. There's all kinds of problems here. And so we can need to continue to pray for those people there in Texas and the fallout of all of that, especially for them and the families and the kids. I mean, what child's going to want to go back to that school? I actually appreciated, which is rare, something that Biden said the other day. Maybe we need to provide federal funds to have that school raised and build a new one. Because we're looking at it from our mature perspective, but not from a child's perspective. We can't. And most of them are probably scared to death to go back there. Can you put Facebook up on the screen in here, please, Josh? We're afraid to death to go back there, and who can blame them? So maybe that's a good idea But broadening out the topic of school, here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake County School System, and we are going to, between now and November, I'm going to get Wake County School Board potential people that are running for the school board candidates on here as often as I can, because this is a huge issue. And so my question for you today, are we, whether you want to talk about school safety, i.e. gun safety, but school safety in general, what's going on in schools, the LGBTQ transgender mess that's there, the pornographic materials that are being discovered there in terms of reading materials, whether you want to talk about critical race theory being taught and pigeonholing these kids before they even have the vocabulary to understand or talk about it. Is it time to just start yanking our kids out of the school system? Is the school system just too far gone? And this story showed up on Fox News, LGBTQ flashcard showing a pregnant man. Have you seen that, by the way? That's like one of the new little emojis you can get, I think, on Facebook or probably your Apple phone that shows a pregnant man, which I know for those of you that are sane and rational and not completely given over to this woke idealism and Romans 1 type human depravity and reprobate mind, understand that there's no such thing as a pregnant man. But as soon as you throw gender and sex off up in the air and off the table and you no longer live in the world of reality, you live in the world of ideology, you can think about a woman who decides to call herself a man, who then is pregnant as a woman, because only a woman can be pregnant, but decides to call herself a man, forcing other people in one way or another to refer to her as a man. Then you can say in your mind and in your delusion, you have a pregnant man. And so they came up with a little emoji or a bitmoji about it. And there's a school teacher, a preschool teacher, North Carolina teacher, was recently exposed for using LGBTQ-themed flashcards in a preschool classroom as a way to teach young children their colors. So they use the transgender flag, which is an expansion of the rainbow flag. And one of the flashcards for the color white is a woman standing behind somebody that appears to be a man who has what most of us would consider to be a beer belly. But the message is that's a pregnant man with his whatever, because we can't define what a woman is, standing behind her, somebody that appears to be female. And so they were using those flashcards with young children. North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore shared photos of the cards on Friday, this past Friday, saying that the images were recently emailed to Representative Aaron Perret, who's been on the show before talking about homeschooling and the education system in North Carolina. And this story goes on. I want to share more with you. Thank goodness the Wake County teacher resigned after a result of being found out. How some other parents are responding to this may shock you or not. We'll talk about something going on outside of the market where I used to live, up in Chicago, where we have to start incorporating skin color into grading. Is it time to just pull our kids out of public schools? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here.
Welcome back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'm going to have to change that music. I got to do that. This is what I do in the summer. One of the things I do in my summer when I'm not teaching is to change out all my bump music. So I have to get rid of a song that says it might seem crazy what I'm about to say, because the things that we share on the air and things that I post, nothing's really crazy anymore. That's the problem with our culture. Is nothing really, you know what seems crazy? Truth. Truth seems crazy. Rationality seems crazy. Critical thinking seems crazy. Not being woke seems crazy. And so we go back to Isaiah. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Everything's flipped upside down. Yeah, Jim, I like that idea. Get some Motown. So we'll switch out the bump music here in the next couple weeks. But thinking these stories are crazy anymore, they just aren't. Unfortunately, they're the norm, which is why we're talking about public education today. And by the way, is it time to just get out? And especially if you have students that are in the public school system and in the last year and a half, because of COVID or other reasons, did you yank them out? Did you make that decision before? If you've been in the school system, the public school system, and yanked your kids out because of what's going on in the public school system, I'd love for you to share that story as a way to challenge and encourage other parents who are facing a very difficult decision. I think it's getting harder for people that are awake, that are paying attention, to leave your kids in the public school system. I hope if you have kids in the public school system, that's difficult for you. I hope you're struggling with that at some level, given all the revelation that's been coming out, especially in the last year and a half. But this stuff's been going on for a long time. You go all the way back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 1900s and the Frankfurt School. The U.S. public education system was taken over by progressives and liberals over 100 years ago, and they've done an excellent job. And say, no, it's not indoctrination. Yes, it is. It's indoctrination via marination. They're marinating children in a progressive worldview, not 100% every class, every lesson, but in enough of them. And that's leadership on down. That's that. If you don't think the federal government's having a huge impact, you're nuts. They can implement federal educational policy and worldview via money. They just make you jump through all the hoops to get Title IX money, this, that, and the other thing. So via the purse and all the strings that come attached to federal money, that's how you implement what their vision for education at the local level, from the federal level on down. And then curriculum, and Bill Gates is in there. There's all kinds of crazy people in there that understand that the best way to turn the culture and shape the future of the country is to shape children. We tend to fight from the top down. They are really good at fighting from the bottom up, which is why you get these stories like right here in Wake County, North Carolina, one of the biggest school systems in America, right here. And you can call it the Bible Belt all you want. I think the Bible Belt slid south a while ago, but we can still say that. So House Speaker Tim Moore shared photos of the cards. These were flashcards for little kids in kindergarten trying to teach them colors, but they're using the LGBTQIA++ flag. Plus, with one of the flashcards for the white, which is the absence of color, what appears to be a woman, and in front of her what appears to be a man, but he's got a beer belly, but he's quote unquote pregnant. So that's what they're using. The flashcards, which were used at, listen up if you're here in the Raleigh area, Ballantyne Elementary School in Fuquay, Varina. Do you have any kids? Do you know anybody down there in the Fuquay area that might have kids in an elementary school? Ballantyne Elementary School. Led to concerns because one of them shows an image of what appears to be a pregnant man. According to a press release, Representative Perret immediately reached out to the school's principal, who verified with the teacher that the cards had been used in the classroom. The principal advised that the flashcards were not part of the approved curriculum and said she was unaware of their use. Take note of that, friends. Take note of that. The principal, was not aware of what was happening in the classroom. Yes, and the teacher did resign. I'll get to that. WRAL News reports that the school district released a statement saying, quote, an initial review determined that flashcards were not tied to the district's pre-K curriculum, pre-K, did not complement, enrich, or extend the curriculum, and were used without the principal's review, knowledge, and or approval, let alone, let's add some parents in there. Representative Perret said she's grateful that concerns were raised over the issue. Amen. She added, schools should only be using age-appropriate materials, and these flashcards clearly did not meet that standard for a preschool classroom. Preschool classroom. Let's mess with these little kids' heads and try to indoctrinate them into thinking that a man can be pregnant. That's what's going on here. So the teacher resigned. The district did not release the name of the teacher, but said it had removed the materials from the school. A May 27th news release from North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore. We talked about that already. The district is concerned to learn the inappropriate instructional resource found in a preschool classroom. Wake County Public School System spokesperson Lisa Luton wrote in an email to WRAL News. Luton also confirmed that extra security is at the school today after backlash against the use of the flashcards. Quote, an initial review determined that flashcards were not tied to the district's pre-K curriculum, did not complement, enrich, or extend the curriculum. Right, we read that already. WRAL News found the cards called, get this, Progress Pride Flag Rainbow Families. They found them online. The description reads, quote, these gorgeous custom designed illustrations celebrate LGBT2+ families of diverse races, ages, sexualities, genders, and abilities. Great. So a teacher in preschool and kindergarten uses that. The teacher's resignation comes as North Carolina Senate lawmakers continue to hold hearings on the Parents' Bill of Rights, a GOP-backed bill that some say are calling the state's version of the Florida law. Thank you. North Carolina House Bill 755 would ban any mention of sexual orientation or gender identity from the curriculum in kindergarten through third grade. I would go higher than that, but at the very least. Why do you need to be talking to kindergarten through third graders about gender identity, gender dysphoria, madness, worldview, perspective? You don't. They don't have the minds for that. They can't even comprehend what you're talking about. But you're hearing it, and it's coming from an authority figure. And if it's coming from my nice teacher in my kindergarten class here at Ballantyne Elementary School in Fuquay Varina, then it must be true, right? At least to a kindergarten or first grade or second grade or third grade, probably fourth or fifth grade. Once you get into sixth grade, middle school, they get a little nutty. Okay, they're maturing. Now we can start having some more mature conversations. But give me a break. Kindergarten? That's sick. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? Under the bill, schools would have to notify parents if a student asked to use a different name or different pronouns to describe themselves, especially that young. Yes, you can't hide that. They would also have to let parents know if a student is seeing an in-school counselor or there's any change in a student's mental, physical, or emotional well-being, you know, because we want parents to be involved. What a shocker. Now listen to this. Here's the other side of the coin. WRAL News spoke with Jackie Malazzo, who has a three-year-old son in the special education preschool class of the teacher who resigned. Malazzo said the children are ages 3 to 4 in the class. That just makes me so mad. She said the district initially reached out to parents on May 27th. Quote, especially with the class this is used in, many of these kids do not yet have the verbal capabilities to tell us something inappropriate was really happening in the classroom, and we are forced to rely on our trust with the school and the teacher, she said. She said she started to search Google if there were any mention of what happened. She said she came across a news article with pictures of the flashcards. Immediately, I felt relief, like, this is it? This is what we're making a big deal about, Malazzo said. It's devastating, the teacher resigning. She's one of the most remarkable teachers I've ever met. She said parents were crying and hugging each other upon hearing about the resignation. Well, I'm sure the teacher was quote-unquote nice, but using those things was still sick. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Yeah, it seems like even more with each passing week as we get more educated about what's going on in our education, quote unquote, air quotes, education system in America that, you need a Bruce Lee with you. Your kid needs a Bruce Lee with you in school. And you're like, you need somebody with you at young ages, kindergarten, which is the story we were just talking about, trying to teach them colors by using LGBTQIA+++++, et cetera, ideology. That's sick. And abusive. Okay? It's got no place. I'm glad that teacher resigned. It was in a special ed class. There's no room for it. Kindergarten, first, second, third. I would add fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade. Okay, but age appropriate where we can start talking about the things going on in the world around them. But to promote it, which is exactly what this teacher was doing. Hey, look at the little kid, the little card here for the color white, which actually isn't a color. But, oh, that's a girl and a man who's pregnant. Oh, good for them. Look, it's a wonderful family. Because that's a transgender woman who's is now a man. And so she's pregnant. He's pregnant. And that's indoctrination. That's what that is. A teacher. I'm glad the teacher resigned. If the teacher didn't resign, should be fired. Okay. There's all kinds of stuff. Here's another story out here. Mary Catherine Hamm and others have something to say about New York Times report on children's learning loss during the pandemic. I'm just trying to paint an accurate understanding of how bad the public school system is. You might have a good teacher here and there. That's the exception to the rule. You might have a good school here and there. That's the exception to the rule. You might have a good school board here and there. That's the exception to the rule. The overwhelming majority of leadership in school system from the national to the local is liberal and progressive. The overwhelming majority of teachers, liberal and progressive. That's what's so when you marinate in that, what are you going to get? Liberal progressivism as a worldview. Okay. Not every single teacher. Same thing's true in college. Not every single teacher in college is trying to turn your Christian son or daughter into a hardcore atheist. But enough of them are that it's a challenge. And enough of them have an anti-Christian worldview or perspective. And that bleeds into the classroom. Now, in college, your kids should have the critical thinking skills, I hope, to handle that. But in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, elementary school, middle school? No, they do not. So this is this article. This is just more of the trouble out there, because my question for you is this enough now that a responsible, self-sacrificing Christian parent is getting to the point, painted into the corner, where you're like, I just can't do it anymore. We have to get our kids out of there. We have to get them out. It's becoming, is it getting to the point where it's just irresponsible and unloving to leave them in? Is that the deal? So we have to wrestle with this. I know it's a tough thing for people. I know it's a big decision. But are our kids worth it? I certainly hope you're not so ignorant, uninformed, as to think everything's fine in the public school system, because it isn't. The full extent of the damage from this article that's been done to an entire generation may not be known for many years, but in the immediate aftermath of closures and shutdowns, ostensibly to keep the kids safe, it's now becoming clear to even those who didn't predict what would happen. So this was in the New York Times. They tweeted this out. Children's learning loss in the pandemic isn't just in reading and math. It's also in social and emotional skills. In a New York Times survey of 362 school counselors across the U.S., they said students are behind in abilities to learn, cope, and relate. It's bad. To learn, cope, and relate. Students are less bought into school, less excited about life after high school, one teacher said. So much harm and suicide ideation, a guidance counselor said. It's terrible out there, okay? And so for us to leave our kids in the public school system, unless they're really strong Christians, they've been really well-trained, they're mature, okay? All right, cool, awesome. I'm down with that. But sixth grade and under, seventh grade, maybe for in some cases eighth graders, forget it. No. In a survey of 362 school counselors nationwide, licensed educators who teach those skills describe many students as frozen socially and emotionally at the age they were when the pandemic started. Oh, that's great. Something that we continuously come back to is that our ninth graders were sixth graders the last time they had a normative, uninterrupted school year. Developmentally, our students have skipped over crucial years of social and emotional development. Nearly all counselors, 94%, said their students were showing more signs of anxiety and depression than before the pandemic. 88% said students were having more trouble regulating their emotions. And almost three quarters said they were having more difficulty solving conflicts with friends. Because you locked them up at home when they had no statistical threat whatsoever of harm from COVID. And the teachers, the vast majority of the teachers didn't either. It's bad out there. And there was another story. This was in the Epoch Times. U.S. schools facing a mass exodus of teachers who won't return this fall. Like the people dropping out as teachers is up about 50% in this article from a few years ago. So you got that going on. So my question for you is it now getting to the point where, to use strong terms, it's dereliction of duty to leave your Christian kids in the public school system? That's my question for you. I want to be able to take some calls today, okay? 866-348-7884. Maybe you've got kids in the public school system and you're just like, this is really hard. I don't know what to do. And you just want to share that. That'd be great. Maybe you already pulled your kids out of the public school system for one of these types of reasons that I've been discussing and you want to share. I'd love to hear from you. We need to encourage one another. We need to help one another. This is a huge challenge for a lot of people. I'm not minimizing that. But at some point, you have to take a leap of faith. You're like, I don't know exactly how I'm going to pull this off. We don't know how we're going to do it. If we lose my income or my spouse's income, I don't know how we do this, but this is getting really bad. Is it time now? Are we getting to the point where it's becoming increasingly irresponsible for a Christian parent or parents to leave their kids in the public school system? 866-348-7884. That is a question. That's not me making a declarative statement. I'm a lot closer to that statement than I've ever been. And we've been a homeschooling family. Our oldest daughter is going to do senior year at a local public high school, but she's pretty mature in her faith and her eyes are wide open. And we're asking questions and walking through that with her. So there's an exception, but you don't manage anything by the exception to the rule. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, especially if you've pulled a son or daughter out of the public school system. Hey, Steve, we did it. We did it last year. We did it the year before. We did it 4 years ago. Here's why. As a way to encourage, not condemn, other Christians who are struggling. They're in a situation because so many of us have gotten ourselves into a financial pinch where we literally can't afford to lose one of our two incomes because how do you pay the bills? So how do you deal with that? Well, you better be really, really engaged. There are ways to deal with it. You have to be really, really engaged, knowing that that the school system, this type of stuff that I've been sharing with you today, I haven't gotten to this article, race-based grading systems. In one part of this article, they're talking about they lowered the score for an F to 19%. 19%. You're like, what? How do you do that? And they want to adjust the grades. This is up in Wake Cook News. This is outside of Chicago. Transformative education, professional development, and grading. So they want to start changing all the grades, curve the grades to account for skin color or ethnicity. And so we know students can no longer be docked for missing class, misbehaving in school, or failing to turn in their assignments, according to the plan. So you're going to lie to these kids, tell them that they're actually doing better than they actually are, and that's going to condition them to expect that all of life's going to treat them that way. And it's not. It's shocking. Very disappointing. Let's go to Jamar, who's calling in from North Carolina. Jamar, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
It's Jamal. No problem.
Jamal, I'm sorry.
no problem. First of all, I want to thank you very much for your show.
You're
a voice for a lot of us. You give us a platform and give us information that we need and probably wouldn't get otherwise.
Amen.
I share your information a lot online, so again, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
My question, or I guess my response to your question would be, I'm thinking of being a salt and light to society. That also includes the school system.
Mm-hmm.
If we just retreat, then kind of like the rapture, you know, who's there to kind of teach and kind of people another alternative to the current lifestyle that's being pushed. But I do agree with what you kind of alluded to earlier, being well-trained and then being able to withstand the pressure that society's pushing on people who are in the school system. And then there's also people that would have struggles homeschooling.
Yeah.
And it's a good avenue for families and for kids to have the public school system. So I get your concern. I would try to say maybe there's a gray area. You know, people that want to pull out, cool.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yep.
But that want to stay in there, you know, just know what you're dealing with and just make sure you fortify your kids to withstand the pressures of this society.
Exactly right, and I completely agree with you. The one thing on the salt and light issue, Jamal, is, you know, when people talk about, well, our kids need to be salt and light, I'm like, okay, well, your kindergarten through fourth grade, fifth grade kid most likely isn't going to be too effective at being salt and light. Certainly teachers, administrators, school board people, let's get in there. If you train your child up well and they're mature and they're ready, maybe we train them at home for a while, Jamal, and send them into middle school or send them into high school. But they have to be ready. But if they're really young, I question whether they can be salt or light. It's a great call. I'm gonna address your other points when I come back from the break. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'm going to get to Chris and Chase, who are on hold right quick. Just real quick, you guys. So please stand by. I'm going to get right to you. But a couple more follow-ups on Jamal's point. The salt and light thing, most of our kids aren't going to be salt and light in the public school system, especially when it comes to this crazy gender ideology, sexual ideology, and even when it comes to evangelism, things like that. Most little first and second and third graders coming out of felt board Sunday school are not ready to go into the school and be effective salt and light. They can be nice Christian kids, but are they really propelling the gospel? Are they defending the biblical worldview? I doubt it. Now, maybe sixth grade, seventh grade, okay. Maybe you have an advanced fourth grader. Okay, awesome. But that's the exception to the rule. That's not the norm. But salt and light via teachers, Christians that go into the educational system, the public education system at all levels, including college, absolutely. We need more of them. Missionaries, man, get in there. Administrators, get in there. School board members, which we're going to have a bunch of them on this show here locally over the course of the summer, get in there. If we can get some Christians up in D.C. into the Department of Education, which shouldn't exist anyway, get in there. That's kind of salt and light I'm all for. Or we grow our kids up and we train them at home for a while, and then by the time they're in middle school, maybe maybe sixth, seventh, eighth grade, certainly high school, maybe if they're ready and they want in, send them in. They're like missionaries, man. You got a huge mission field right there behind your house. That's awesome. And then for some people, to Jamal's point, yeah, it's very difficult. You got two incomes, all this kind of stuff. You're like, we can't afford private school. And if we homeschool, one of us is going to have to stop working, and that's going to put us into a tizzy financially. And a lot of us got ourselves there, right? Because we built up a lifestyle that requires two incomes. Not that it's inexpensive anymore. Thank you, Joe Biden. But I know those are real challenges, but are we willing to continue to maintain a financial lifestyle while our kids, while we kind of, in a way, sacrifice our kids on this altar of public education? That's the point of the question. Are we getting to the point where you just, that's an untenable position. It's just irresponsible. It's unloving. The Bible tells us, fathers, don't frustrate your children. Don't provoke them to anger. Well, you send them into school for 16,000 hours, kindergarten through 12th grade, and then they come home and you're like, no, no, no. And then you're back and forth and back and forth. The worldly progressive worldview, the biblical worldview, back and forth and back and forth. Is that going to provoke a few kids to wrath? It might. That's a problem biblically, right? Let's go to Chris calling in from Hillsboro. Chris, sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Go right ahead.
No, not a problem. Hey, listen, great question. I understand if Christians are doing that, but that's not going to help the problem. And it's just washing, it's just passing the buck. Really, I'm a Christian and an American, and we're blessed to have this country. And in Orange County, we've been fighting the school system tremendously. They are wicked evil in this county. And we just got through a school board election. We got half of it accomplished, but we still have an uphill battle. But to the point, I mean, the strongest families pulling away from the schools doesn't solve the problem. 50% of your taxes are still going there, so they still have a slush fund to do whatever they want with it. Yeah, it's just they don't have any voices to fight them any longer because the strongest people are going. Now, we're fighting, and we fought to try and get school board members. Hey, listen, in our county, everyone who's running for school board is left of me. But there are common sense folks on that side that have had enough. They understand the extreme activism that has controlled their party, and it's Democrats. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Shoot. The Democrats were attacking each other because they got wind that there were GOP that were supporting some of these candidates that were more common sense, and they didn't like that because they don't want to give up control.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, listen, equity is a political lie. It is divisive. It's been killing our community from the onset. And when COVID came on the scenes, it opened the door to the activism that was going on. It started in eighth grade with my youngest son. He came in. He's like, Daddy, we had the surveys. This is the surveys coming through. Daddy, how do I answer these questions in this section? I look at it. How is your feeling about school? Every one of it was racist. 12 questions about racist. I'm like, what? I call the principal. I said, how could this be? Oh, they bypassed me. This is coming from the district. I mean, it's insane. So back to your question. I'm sorry, I'm ranting.
It's fine.
We've been fighting this for
God bless you,
time.
Bro. God bless you.
I understand it, but we have to stand up and fight. And thank God for this bill that's going out in the Congress right now, NC 755. It is not perfect, and believe me, it's not just the county, the DPI and the state board. That's another issue altogether that we have to fight. And unfortunately, they're in the bill, and we're giving keys to the inmates, so to speak, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So they're supposed to be the watchdogs of our the trustees, which are the school boards, right, of our children. The institutions of learning have turned institutional, and it is up to us as strong Christian parents to keep on fighting respectfully, but keep on fighting and stay in the fight.
Amen. Chris, great call, man. Great points. Amen. Thank you so much for staying involved, and thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, pal. You're welcome. And that's a great point, all right? And Chris would say, hey, if you're going to stay in and fight, and God bless you for it, and you've got kids in there with you, your kids, you make sure you're all over it. I used to say it this way. If somebody's forced to hire a convicted pedophile to be a babysitter, you better be all over that, right? Now, that's an extreme example. I understand. Okay. But you know what's out there. You should know. Your head should not be in the sand anymore. Okay. You should not be ignorant of the fact that there's all kinds of wicked garbage. Thank you, Chris, for using that word inside the public school system at all levels. So if you're going to keep your kid in there while you fight from the outside, which you should, then you better be really careful like his eighth grader, about what's going into their head, and you better engage and be all over that stuff. You better. Let's go to Chase from Ohio. Chase, thanks for waiting. Sorry for the long hold. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine. Firstly, I'd like to appreciate and thank you for everything you're saying. I agree with it completely. And I personally just want to say that I think COVID is the biggest jam that has been brought to the American people.
Yeah, man.
And what they've done, and especially how we're seeing the school systems indoctrinate our children, should we just wait around and have like these Republicans like Ron DeSantis with a backbone to pass legislation to stop it? Or should we, the people, step up and do more about it, even if we're not directly affected by it?
Oh, well, that's a great question, Chase. And no, I am so excited about Ron DeSantis and what he's done in Florida. And the guy barely won the election to become the governor, all right? So he was supposed to come in and be Mr. Mamby-Pamby because you didn't have a really strong mandate, but he didn't care about that. Once he's in the office, he's fighting, and they're passing laws, and they're doing a great job. We all need to be like that. But if you want to sit, if anybody's going to sit around and try to wait for the right school board member or the right governor or the right president, i.e. Donald Trump or anybody else, and that's going to solve the problem, that's how we've gotten here. We've relied on the top-down approach where we have to be fighting from the bottom up, which is where the progressives took over the school system. We assumed everything was fine, and we were wrong. No, I don't think anybody has an excuse to not be engaged. And listen, Chase, I mean, we've homeschooled our kids for 17 years, and once I became an activist in 2004, our organization got involved with the public school system all the time. And the media used to say, well, Mr. Noble, because they knew what the deal was, where do your kids go to school? Well, we homeschool. Well, what are you doing talking about the public school system? And I say, well, I've got a constitutional mandate because my money's going there. And I've got a biblical mandate because I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And it doesn't matter whether my kids are in that school. Other kids are in that school, and I should care about them as if they're my own. And so we as Christians should be engaged from the top to the bottom, but especially the bottom up on this issue. I don't think there's any excuse to not be engaged, whether you have school kids in the school system or not, Chase. Not at all.
All right. I like that answer. It's very, very good. And I'm just sick and tired of seeing all this indoctrination and this crap they're feeding to the kids. And
right.
I've been watching clips of TikTok recently, and it's absolutely horrifying.
Horrifying.
What's out there.
That's a great point, Chase. Thanks so much for calling. I appreciate it. And by the way, even if you're not on Twitter, just go. They've got a website now, I think, Libs of TikTok. I think they're doing some stuff on Facebook. All they do, and this person got outed. All they do is they go on Twitter and TikTok and they pull out all these self-placed videos of teachers that are just insanely wicked, especially on sexual ideology. And they're just boastful about what they're teaching and what they're doing. It's right there. It's like you walked into the devil's boardroom and he's telling you exactly what he's trying to do to all these little kids. Libs of TikTok. T-I-K-T-O-K. Libs of TikTok. Start watching that. And now, again, that's not every single teacher out there, but it's enough of them out there that you should be very concerned. And whether your kids are in school or not, if you're a Christian, love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't matter whether your kids are in there. Kids are in there. And that's enough to engage for the good of those children made in the image of God. Okay? So there's no reason. So we're going to keep talking about this. I'm going to have school board members here in the Wake County area, people running for school board, good, conservative, most of them Christian, just common sense, like Chris said about over there in Orange County, the Chapel Hill area, just common sense people. You know what I loved about Top Gun Maverick? It was pro-military, pro-America. It was even pro-male. Oh, was it better than the original? Yes, I thought so. I was like tearful. I was so jacked up. I was so jacked up by the first Top Gun in 1986 because I had gotten into the Air Force Academy and God just diverted my path. I wasn't a believer at the time. I ended up not going. And I always wanted to fly jets. So in 1986, when I saw Top Gun, I'm like, oh man, have I messed up? I really blew it. Now I see in hindsight what God was doing. But Maverick, Top Gun Maverick is so good. Go see it. And there's a couple little swear words here and there, but other than that, it's family friendly. It's pro-America, pro-male. Wow. It's awesome. Can't recommend it enough. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.